Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we start with 68, and now we get down to four. Elite Eight games from Tuesday saw Gonzaga roll again. That has been the story of this tournament every time they have taken the hardwood, as they have beaten USC. And then the nightcap saw number one seed Michigan go down to UCLA. And this Bruins team started off in the play-in game, down 13 to Michigan State, has now cruised their way to the Final Four. So we know a couple of things are going to happen in this final 2 days of basketball, right? The final 3 games. When this is all done, either one thing is going to happen. Two things are going to happen. One of the 3 teams, Gonzaga, Houston, or Baylor, is going to win their first ever NCAA basketball championship. Or UCLA is going to continue to add to the resume of greatness that they have collected over the decades of college hoops. UCLA winning yesterday against Michigan, it's hard to call this team a Cinderella, yet they are, because of all of the things that they've done in the past, none of which have anything to do with Mick Cronin or any player on this basketball team. They really are truly a Cinderella. If you take UCLA off of their chest, put some other team on there, we would be buzzing about them as an 11 seed, the second one to go through the play-in game all the way to the Final Four. VCU 10 years ago did that. But because it's UCLA, we feel like there's something missing. Chris Smith has been out with a torn ACL. They lost another player for personal reasons, one of their better players. This team looked lost and disoriented at the end of the regular season, went to the Pac-12 tournament, got kicked out of that thing quick, barely got in. The committee said, fine, you want in, great, you have to go to the play-in game. And now UCLA is in the Final Four. And now people are doing that thing that I don't like in sports where they go, yeah, well, we knew that they were good here, here, and here. No, we didn't. Stop. I know it's fun to look at wins against Alabama and now this win against Michigan. Those were the 2-1 seeds of your region to say, well, we should have seen this all along. No, we shouldn't have seen this all along. That's why this has been a special run for the Bruins. Coming up, we'll talk about the 2 games yesterday, what happened to Michigan, one of my favorites to win it all in this loss to UCLA as we continue along, and how can anybody, and I mean anybody, hang with Gonzaga with what they're doing right now as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's, please. Get a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters, especially when it comes to checking for fever and keeping your family safe. Unlike non-contact thermometers, Exergen's accuracy is backed by published, peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. So we got 2 more teams now. We're all set for the Final Four. Gonzaga rolled past USC. No issues at all against the Trojans. And Evan Mobley is one of the best players in college basketball. No problem. Gonzaga destroyed them. They've destroyed every team in their path. They are winning by 20-plus points. I think it's 25 on average in this tournament. They crushed the Trojans.
Absolutely ridiculous.
On. Just annihilate. No problems. Easily dismantled this team. Never trailed. Drew Timmy was great inside against Mobley. No troubles there. Kispert got his points. Jalen Suggs got his points. All of the things that you expect Gonzaga to do against anybody from their conference, they easily did against USC. Piece of cake.
I thought for sure, like 100% positive, USC was going to put up a fight. That this was going to be this was going to be Gonzaga's first true test.
Right, because you're waiting for it, right? I mean, look, Gonzaga is unbeaten going into this tournament, but we know this is a hard thing to do. It's hard to win 6 games, and teams have come into this undefeated and have not left with the undefeated. Since its expansion, right, to 64 teams, now 68. No one has done it. No one has gone into this tournament unbeaten and left this tournament with zero in the loss column, right? Everyone has failed along the way. So, but maybe you're expecting, okay, maybe Gonzaga wins this, but somebody will give him a scare. Somebody will put a little fear into him. Maybe they have to pull away late in the final 2 minutes. Maybe it's one of those games where if you didn't watch it, the score isn't indicative of how this game really played out. They won by 10, but man, they were only up 2 with a minute to go. Nope, that wasn't the case. This was an annihilation. They blew him out, kept it going, foot on the gas. That was it. Good night. The second game was the more interesting one because Michigan had an early lead in this, but games of runs in basketball, and UCLA said, yeah, we'll take ours. And they did. They played strong defensively. They were a team that was sort of, okay, look, we'll take you to Michigan. We'll tighten things up. We'll see where this goes. And Michigan was like happy to oblige with missed shots all over the place last night. And UCLA goes on to win this one as an 11 seed. And now they're heading to the Final Four. Johnny Juzang was great. He was the one that sparked the comeback. He was the one that really initiated everything. Franz Wagner of Michigan was terrible. Absolutely terrible. In fact, he took the last two shots of the game and they were, I feel bad for the kid. One was a wide open air ball for three that would have given him the lead, and then he clanked one off the backboard in his final attempt. You know, there's an old adage, shooters got to shoot their way out of slumps, but man, in the closing seconds, that ain't a good time to be doing that. Sometimes you got to go, I don't have this, I'm giving the basketball to you. And I kind of wish he did, because it was not a good look on either one. Just terrible shots. Juzang had 28 points for the Bruins in a game where they only scored 51. So that's just indicative of how much scoring he gave UCLA in this game. The Bruins right now have knocked off a 2 seed in Alabama and a 1 seed in Michigan on their way to the Final Four. As I said at the top of the hour, if this was UCLA Santa Barbara or UC whatever, we would be talking in glorious terms about their run to the Final Four. But we're not. We're not, because it's UCLA. And UCLA comes with so much history with John Wooden, all right, even in the 94 team with Tyus Edney. Except this is not them. This is a team that did lose its best player in Chris Smith. This is a team that had another player leave for personal reasons. This is a team that lost its footing and didn't look good and did not look like a team that should be in the tournament. A lot of buzz about them going into Selection Sunday. Would they get in? Was their resume enough? You get into this thing, you take every opportunity you can, and this is what this UCLA team did. I thought Michigan State would blow them out in the play-in game because I liked the way Michigan State was playing. I hated the way UCLA was playing, and now they're in the Final Four.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you think that? They lost their final four games before the tournament started.
Exactly.
And then they were 11 seed. I mean, I wonder how many people, what the percentage was, chose Michigan State over UCLA making it into the round of 64.
Sure, and one of the other points, because Michigan State, there was a couple of things about Michigan State going into that play-in game against UCLA that was in their favor. One, coached by a guy who gets this tournament and gets his team ready to play this tournament regardless of what obstacles are in front of them. Two, the fact that they played in the best conference of the country, Big Ten, and towards the end of the season were beating the juggernauts of that conference. Now, the latter part, the tournament, they didn't do well, but it didn't matter. Izzo knows how to coach in the NCAA tournament, and they were showing that they could beat some of the best teams in college basketball. So they go to this playing game against UCLA, again, lost 4 straight, bowed out of their conference tournament quick, right? A team that was still kind of figuring things out. And however they got that when they were down 13 of the Spartans, however they got that and whatever kicked them into gear going into this tournament, they now are in the Final Four. And we should be buzzing about them like we would be buzzing any other double-digit seed going to the Final Four. I mean, BYU, Abilene Christian, Alabama, and Michigan, besides the Michigan State winning the play-in game. Again, you're talking about a 1 and a 2, they downed. because, again, because it's UCLA, we're not doing that. But we would do it if it was Butler, VCU, George Mason, any of these other teams that made an unexpected run to the Final Four. What UCLA is doing is not expected because they were UCLA. It's they were an 11 seed. The committee almost didn't put them in this thing. They're taking advantage of this opportunity and playing great basketball. Again, if they were a small school you never heard of, you'd be talking and buzzing about this team going into the Final Four as the underdog Cinderella story. Now you could honestly see them giving Gonzaga a run, except I can't see anybody giving a Gonzaga a run. So last night watching that game, I kept going, yeah, this should feel like a David versus Goliath, but it doesn't feel that way because there's UCLA on the jersey.
Yeah.
And it didn't. Well, like it's just the way it is.
I mean, I can't remember. I think it was Jim Nance pointed it out yesterday, or somebody pointed it out last night, that out of the four teams, UCLA is the only one that's won a national title.
Yeah. Except, again, as I was saying at the top of the hour, either Gonzaga, Baylor, Houston's going to win their first title, or UCLA is just going to add to the resume that they've built in decades and decades in the sport.
And you're absolutely right. It should feel like David versus Goliath, but, you know, you sit back and go, oh, Wooden.
Yeah, it's all
Kareem,
it's all the
Bill
elements.
Walton.
Yeah, they have all the elements. I mean, they went 22-9. That's not a great record, but it's decent, right? They're 22-9 right now.
Yep.
They were 13-6 in conference play. That's pretty mediocre, middle of the pack. But they got in, and now they're doing it.
But I mean,
and like I was saying yesterday, remember when I was saying, look, this is one of the only sports. You know, maybe college football, because the bowl system allows you to sort of leave on a winning note. There's only one team that's going to cut down the nets as the champion. But the celebratory nature of UCLA last night, hoisting their trophy, confetti raining down, they won their region. And this tournament allows that type of celebration. It allows teams to go, we won the region. We're going to the Final Four. This is celebratory. We won something. Right now, again, there's four winners. They go to the Final Four. One winner emerges. But if you're a UCLA fan, regardless of what happened Saturday against Gonzaga, this is a special year. This is a year you're not going to put it up with the Wooden trophies and Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton and all those greats. You're not going to do that. But this is a special run for a team that nobody really believed in that game against Michigan State. And now knocked off two teams that could have won the national championship.
Yeah. Do you put a banner up that says Final Four participant?
No, but you can put up East Regional. You can put up
East Regional.
I mean,
go.
Not Regional. I mean, West Regional. You can put up West Regional champions. You can do that. That's a better way to put it. That's a better way to put it. Maybe UCLA does. I don't know what Pauley Pavilion looks like. I don't know if it's like the Boston Garden. Celtics don't put up any banner other than championships.
Yeah.
So they don't put up Eastern.
I think
Conference
UCLA
titles.
Probably is the same way. I mean,
maybe UCLA.
If they didn't
way.
Have what was that? That was it. Seven titles, nine titles, wouldn't one in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, in a row about seven, yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe you don't put it up because those are hanging up in the rafters. You can never take those away. You know, maybe you don't put up, you know, participant or East Regional final or West Regional winner. Yeah, maybe they don't do that.
Yeah, so, you know.
But I have hope that UCLA can make a game of it. I have hope that, you know, hey, maybe they can win. I just don't see it against Gonzaga. That was an absolute clinic.
And that's what we're going to get into coming up next. Is anybody going to derail Gonzaga from their perfect run through college basketball this season? Is what will be the inevitable gap between what we want to see Monday, Baylor against Gonzaga? Can Houston do something against the Bears to disrupt that plan? We'll talk about that next as we continue with the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call. SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery. Get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so Gonzaga has got two more wins, and they're in immortality land. They will finish the season unbeaten. They will win the national championship, and they will become the first team to do that since Bob Knight's 1976 Indiana team. But we have seen unbeaten teams in this thing before since the expansion of this tournament to 64 in 1985. We have seen UNLV fail to do it. We saw Wichita State fail to do it. We saw Kentucky. That 2015 team was a beast, and they couldn't do it, losing to Wisconsin in the Final Four. But we've got this Gonzaga team that is rolling along right now at a clip that does make you think that this is inevitable, that, you know, like they're just better than the three teams that are in the Final Four. That thinking, though, has failed time and time again, where we, even teams that have gone to the Final Four with one loss, two losses, that seem head and shoulders better than the teams that that are in there, don't get it done. That's the nature of this. Baylor can play a good game and beat Gonzaga. UCLA needs to play a perfect game to beat Gonzaga. That's it. They need the combination of two things. They need to play a perfect game, and they need the Gonzaga to have one of those crazy nights where the ball just doesn't go in the net for whatever reason. That's it. Villanova circa 85 kind of thing. That's basically how the Bruins are going to win this. Any sort of failure by the Bruins to execute on a not perfection level, but on a top tier level, Gonzaga is going to blow them out of the gym. This is the thing about Gonzaga, and you see it time and time again, every time you play them, is they get scoring from everywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter. Everybody can chip in. Jalen Suggs can beat you. Cody Kispert, Drew Timmy. It does not matter. They'll play up. They'll play down. They'll shoot threes. They'll get in on the inside. They've got this sort of complete thing going on. It's very hard to guard. They're very hard to slow down. They'll beat your zone. Right? They did it last night. USC was playing a zone. The passing was explicit. I mean, they were fantastic breaking that down. Evan Mobley, one of the better defenders inside. Drew Timmy had no trouble scoring baskets. What UCLA and Mick Cronin, they're a strong defensive team. You saw it last night against Michigan. They really can clamp things down. But you have to cooperate a little bit in that by shooting terribly. And I don't think Gonzaga is going to do that. I don't know if they win by 20-plus points. They opened this game as a 14-point favorite already. I think it stays that way. I don't know where the betting is going to be going and leading up to Saturday's game. I think it stays in that area. It deserves to be in that area. Again, UCLA, this has been a fun run, but this Gonzaga team is historic, and that is not like other teams that have gone to this tournament as the better team. We have had plenty of teams go to the Final Four as the clear favorite and not be historic. This team is historic. They're winning tournament games by 25 points. They won all season by 20 points. They haven't been in a close game all year. Now, I don't know, a good basketball pundit might say, yep, put them in a dogfight and see what happens. The problem is, who gives them a dogfight? Right? Is it Houston and Baylor in the championship game? If it is, would it be Baylor? These two teams have been 1-2 all season long. But look at the examples I brought out, right? I mean, look at UNLV. If you remember the UNLV 90-91 team that went into the tournament unbeaten, right? When they lost to Duke, it was shocking in the sense that basically the same players had met the year before and UNLV beat them by 30 points, right? Duke had a different approach to that game going in a year later. In the Wichita State unbeaten run of 2014, they unfortunately drew a region that had a red-hot Kentucky team in it that really found themselves. And Kentucky, who was an 8 seed at the time, knocked them off and knocked off everybody. In fact, they went to the finals and lost to UConn. The Kentucky team a year later was unbeaten and were beating everybody and dominating everybody. Such a juggernaut that we were really counting on them to become the unbeaten team to join Indiana. And they did not get it done against Kaminsky in Wisconsin. That was set at Indianapolis. What makes this different? What makes the feeling of this different? There really isn't. I mean, the same comparisons that we gave to Kentucky, we're doing the same thing with Gonzaga. The same things that we're saying about Gonzaga, we've said about UNLV. We've said about Kentucky. Not so much Wichita State, even though we knew they were very powerful, but people really hated that region. That region was loaded. It was very unfortunate for the Shockers that they, because they also had Michigan in there and Louisville, and it was very, very hard. It was really difficult. But this Gonzaga team is so just loaded with talent. I would be really happy if on Saturday UCLA found a way to stay in this game with the Bulldogs to a point where you felt like they could win it. I do not think they're going to win it. I love this run by the Bruins. It's fun. Last night, I was actually pulling for them, and I had Michigan. I had said Michigan is capable of winning the national championship. And believe it or not, a tournament this year that has been so filled with Cinderellas, I mean, just loaded with upsets in the beginning of this game, it could have been one of the best chalk Final Fours that we've ever had. I know we had all four number ones in 2008, but this would have been very close to have Baylor, Michigan, and Gonzaga number one seeds, and then your fourth team at two. Man, it's as close to chalk as you can get without being chalk. So a tournament that had been defined by Cinderella so early in the tournament would have given you, if Michigan had found a way to win that game, would have given you the best of the best of the best. Right? Maybe without Illinois. But here, no Illinois, no problem. Here's Houston.
Yeah, but you know what I'm thinking about that? The way Michigan played last night, that's a team that also would have lost by 25 to Gonzaga.
Right, if they played like that.
If they played like that. I mean, I know they're capable of stepping it up to another level, which they just didn't
do
last night.
Well, you hope Wagner doesn't go 1-for-10 from the floor. God. I mean, it's, you know, you hope you're not counting on that.
I remember in 2018, he was predicted then to be like a first-round NBA draft pick.
He was fantastic. He was really
now
good.
It's almost one of those things like, you know, staying in college might have hurt you.
Yeah, it was a really, really bad night for him. It was really bad. I mean, he was 0-for-4 from three, including those two clunkers at the end. He couldn't get anything going, and he's extremely important.
Well, one clunker.
Important.
The other one didn't clunk.
Well, the other one didn't clunk. It bounced off the backboard hard as a rock. But Eli Brooks, they talked about him being the most important player on Michigan, maybe not the best, but the most important. He didn't do them any favors by trying to flick the basketball over his head, off the rebound, off that air ball.
Yeah, that was
instead of figuring out where time and place he was in the game.
That was, I'm forgetting, the name is escaping me, the guy who's on the Cavaliers with LeBron. Remember, he, like, dribbled it out, or
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith. That was a total J.R. Smith moment. Yeah. Just had no idea what the clock was reading.
Yeah, exactly. Did not really understand where his time and place was. He put up a kind of this desperate shot. Look, if you get Michigan, Baylor and Gonzaga, what you're getting in the finals is the two best teams in college basketball all season long.
Yeah.
Right. That's look. Again, I like the surprises. I like the storylines. But again, if you're talking about the best matchup for the championship, it's the two teams the sport has been buzzing about all season. Scott Drew and the Bears and Mark Few and the Bulldogs, and they've been 1-2. Michigan popped its head in there a little bit. Baylor got it back. It stayed that way all season long. Gonzaga's been the number one team all season. Baylor's been the number 2/3 team all season. This is the matchup. Anything outside of that, I hate to say it, is disappointing. But if Houston got in two, that's well deserved as a two.
Yeah,
and if UCLA gets in, you should be like, this is the biggest surprise of the tournament.
Oh, it definitely will be.
Right?
Definitely will be. I wouldn't be upset with Gonzaga Houston. I think that'd be a fun game. I think that'd be a great game.
It would be a great game. I mean, Houston, rebounds really well, plays pretty good defense.
Yeah,
you never.
But UCLA against Baylor, UCLA against Houston. No, I don't see that's entertaining from this tournament.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the two comparisons of the sports, college football and college baseball, basketball. I mean, in college basketball, you can get an 11 seed. You can get Houston and UCLA, and a lot of people going, nah, man, that's not really what I wanted. In college football, because there's only four teams, yeah, you may want Alabama, Ohio State, but if you get the other two teams in, you're getting two of the best teams in the country, right? UCLA was not the best team, one of the best teams in the country at the start of this thing, but the navigation of this tournament by them allows them to have all the accolades they deserve, because what they've done is really, really remarkable. It's just that the other three teams in the tournament have earned it all season long and now are in with a chance to win the national title, and UCLA is there to spoil the party a bit. All right, coming up next, the 17-game season is going to happen. What are the questions and what are the answers to those questions next? Wake up call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I don't know why I'm so excited for Godzilla versus Kong. I'm really interested in this. I want to just watch a crazy monster fight popcorn flick with no thinking involved.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's all I want.
That's the point, right? No thinking.
I just want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy these two titans beating the hell out of each other, destroying everything, and I don't want any philosophical environment speech. I don't want any of that stuff.
Well, can I get you a little more excited?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know you've seen the trailer.
Yes.
That fight on the aircraft carrier
is
supposed to be 18 minutes long.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's exactly what I want out of this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I literally don't even want a plot. You don't even have to tell me why they're fighting. Like, just start it with the, just go ding, ding, and just give it. I just want. Blah.
And we don't want real life scenarios because if these two monsters fought on an aircraft carrier, that aircraft carrier is at the bottom of the ocean.
And I don't want to hear, I don't want some human going, and the real enemy is man. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear any wokeness. I don't want to hear any speech. I don't want to hear any larger philosophical, this says something about mankind. No, just put these monsters on my screen, have them fight, and then let's just end the movie, and I'll be finished.
Do you remember the last Godzilla movie?
Yes.
And I'll never forget, because remember it was 11 from Stranger Things?
Yeah. Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes, and she's at Fenway Park, and she's like, she found a way to call all the monsters.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but what was the underlying story? Oh, it brought the family back together.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't want that.
I don't want that.
You know, I'm just happy. I don't want it. I'm just happy that she found a way to call the monsters together so Godzilla could kick some booty.
I don't even care. I don't even care if there's dialogue.
Well, for 18 minutes, it's going to be.
I don't even need dialogue. I heard Kyle Chandler's in this. Good for him. Rebecca Hall's in this.
I think wasn't Kyle Chandler. He was in the last one too, right?
Yeah, he was in the Kong, the Peter Jackson King Kong, the set in the old days.
Has he been in all of these movies?
I don't know how he gets this gig, but
God,
he gets this
is fantastic.
Gig. He's great. So anyway, that comes out today on HBO Max and theaters. Yeah. If you go into
but
theaters.
18, I heard awesome. that fight on the aircraft carrier is 18 minutes long.
Awesome. That's all I want. That's all I want. Speaking of, before we get to the NFL and the 17-game schedule, which became official and the ramifications of it, one thing, I did watch Justice League over the weekend, all 4 hours, but I spaced it out. I did it in chunks, and the Snyder Cut, it was good. It was good. I liked it. I really liked it. I wanted to hate it. I really wanted to hate it because I hated the first one. I couldn't. I liked it. It was good. Like, I literally would stop and I'd go, okay, I've done this for an hour. I'm going to move on, do something else. But every time I would go back when I found myself going, okay, I can sit down and watch this. I wanted to watch it. I wanted to continue the story. So if you got time to space out a 4-hour movie, do it. It's good if you can get it. All right, so the NFL officially approved the 17-game schedule, and what does this mean? I'm sure there's some questions. All right, from the fan perspective, we kind of touched on it yesterday. You're only going to get 3 preseason games. I know, stop crying. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. I know you're going to miss that extra one. I'm certain the players are going to. We talked to Emery Hunt about that yesterday. There's going to be players that are like, yeah, I need these preseason games because I'm trying to get a job. But for fans, you only get 3. The season will start on time like it always has. It's not being moved up a week, so you're not getting NFL week 1 on August 28th. It'll be starting after Labor Day and moving on. What it will do is we'll extend it into mid-February, which actually is a good thing. Now,
yes, it is.
I know that we may not – some people are a little nervous about the kind of quality of football we'll get after 17 games, how teams will be so beat up going into the postseason. True. I share that concern. But anytime I can fill the February month with a little bit more sports, I'm all for it. Give me something in that month. It's a dead month between the Super Bowl and the Selection Sunday. it's usually slim pickings.
Not only that,
get me that to midway, I'm good.
Not only that, but you know, but one thing that's becoming a reality: Super Bowl Sunday could fall on President's Weekend.
That's right. So you could, some of you might have the Monday off.
Yep.
So God bless.
We won't, but
whatever, you know, whatever. It's like our busiest day of the year. So, here's another thing. Okay, so what about the players? You're going to hear a lot of players complaining about this. It's going to be an avalanche, right? Alvin Kamara has already done it. A number of other players are already doing it. This was a close vote in the CBA. When the CBA was put together last year, it was close. What concessions did the league give to the players that allowed this door to be open? And I'll tell you, I was wrong about this. I always thought that the union would fight this tooth and nail. There was nothing the NFL could provide them to open the door to more games. They were all saying, too many, too many, too many. We're not doing 18. We're not doing 17. We are staying at 16. Health-wise, everything. Safety, all of that. We don't care. But there have been some concessions that the NFL has given the Players Association. It did come to a narrow vote, and they did vote on it. There is nobody to blame but themselves. When Alvin Kamara talks about how this is dumb, sorry, your union voted for this. Go to them. Talk to your fellow players that agreed to this CBA. This wasn't hidden language. This wasn't snuck. They didn't sneak this through. No, this was done. This was on the table. Your union voted for this. So don't come crying to the owners that they implemented this. Of course the owners implemented this. There's a ton of revenue to be had here. Of course they did. They've been wanting to do this for decades. Well, let's give me a break here. We've been talking about 18-game schedule for, what, 20 years? Since the 2000s? Right? It's now 17. Could it be 18 soon? No. This is locked in until the next CBA in 2030. So you're not going to have any more movement on the increase of the schedule for at least 8 years. So that is an 18-game schedule is not going to happen. So how are they working this new extra game? Well, it's going to alternate. Okay, so the AFC this year in the extra game, if you took the extra game list, all the AFC teams, because this is going to be interconference, all the AFC teams are home. Next year, all the NFC teams will be home, and it'll just alternate back and forth. So you will be playing a team from another division outside of the division you're scheduled to play, because you're going to play all four teams in that anyway. So as you know, with the regular 16-game schedule, your AFC East, some years you play the NFC South. When that happens, you'll play another team that fits in there, somewhere in the other conference. So you'll have five interconference games. Now, what about money? Well, the pay is going to be spread out over 17 paychecks, but you're going to get an extra game check if your contract fell before February 26th of this past year. So if you signed a contract on February 27th of 2020, that's actually 2020, so last year. So if you signed a contract after February 26th of 2020, you do not get an extra game check. Your pay is based on the 17-game schedule because you knew it was coming. Because you knew that the collective bargaining agreement had been voted upon and the NFL was going to implement this thing. So you get your money, but you don't get it spread out. But let's say you have a contract that is before February 26, 2020. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, you get $1 million a game during the 16-week schedule. You make $16 million a year. Every paycheck is $1 million gross, just for the sake of clarity. You're now going to get another game check of $1 million that is just now part of your deal. So you're just going to get an extra game check. Then when you renegotiate, that your new contract is going to be based on playing 17 games. So that's how that's going to work. So players who have contracts before February 26, 2020 will just get an extra check, just an extra check. And the players after February 26, 2020, your salary is just going to be divided over 17 weeks because that's the way it should have been. So even though you played this, the 2020 season, all right, under you making $1 million a game, right? Your first year under your new deal that you signed February 27th of 2020. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. let's say you in the 16 games you got $1 million a game. Well, now you're not going to get $1 million a game until the run of that contract is over. You should have known it's you're now going to get less per game because you should have known 17 weeks were coming, and that's the way it is. So those are a couple of questions and a couple of answers to the 17-game schedule. Again, and I reiterate this, the preseason being three games is only because there's not going to be any increase in the total number of games for an NFL season, which is 20, right? And so they didn't move any of that. They just plucked one off one tree and added it to another tree, which is at the end of the regular season. Okay, that being said, what do we expect from the quality? Well, there's two ways to look at it. One, yep, will teams be more beat up, more tired towards the end of the season? That's likely to happen. But also, injuries that occur in week 3, 4, and 5, there's an extra week to heal here before you get to the postseason. So you can look at it two ways. I do worry about a level of fatigue that is going to go into the postseason, but that's going to go for everybody. But that extra bye week could be really important. If you can get that bye week, that's going to be really important in the postseason. But overall, this was bound to occur. The owners have been knocking on this door for a long time. And one of the things you know in negotiations, and it can be a negotiation in anything in life, that if you know in the end that you have something the other side really does want, if you just keep pecking at the thing you want, giving the concessions to what they want, eventually that door will open. And I think that's what happened here. I don't think it's necessarily about money. I do think there's some things the players got in this deal, especially marijuana, not testing for it, little things like that that had always been parts of these CBAs. I think eventually the players said, look, can we get some things that we want from the owners plus give them a game where we get paid more money? Yeah, it seems like something we should probably do. I think from the player's standpoint, as much as a lot of the guys were sitting on that pedestal and saying, this is not right, having an extra game and the wear and tear, this is serious, there's health concerns here, I do think in the end, the wave underneath those star players, the ones that are set, right, the ones that are getting contracts, the big numbers, I think there was a feeling underneath of guys going, you know what? I'm not like you, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or, you know, whoever. I only get a couple of years in this. I know I'm not the best defensive end. I know I'm not the best corner. I know I'm not the best offensive guard, whatever it is. If I can hang on for 3 to 4 years, I'll be happy. But the 3 and 4 years that I'm playing, I need to make as much money as I possibly can. And if I bounce around team to team to team, I'm good with that as long as those paychecks are huge. And this allows me to have some to make more money, I'm going to vote for it. And I think there's more of those guys than the guys that are standing up on a pedestal going, yeah, I don't think I could handle another extra game. And I just think the wave was too strong.
Yeah, which makes sense, right? I mean, there's a lot more of those guys than there are the superstars that we talk about and highlight every week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have a chance to play in the National Football League, even if it's only for a handful of years, you better maximize it because there's not a job out there that's going to be like that for you when you leave.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're not going to be a 24-year-old guy working in corporate America making, $800,000 a week.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's not, you're not going to get that.
That doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist. But even if you're making 500 grand a year, 600 grand a year, right? Even if you're on that lower end, the minimum level, there's not going to be a job for you that pays that when you get out either, right? So if you can do 2 or 3 years of that and you know that's all you got, yeah, this is all I got. This is the talent level God gave me. I'm never going to be a Pro Bowler. I can work my tail off and I'm just not, but I can work. I can work in this league. Do it. Do it and make as much money as you can. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Coming up next hour, a baseball preview with our good friend Steve Gardner, USA Today. I like Steve a lot. I can't wait for the season. Can we still
tomorrow.
Pick on... Can we still pick on the Mets this year? They got Francisco Lindor.
Well,
they're one of the favorites to go to the World Series.
Yes, but isn't that a fun conversation to have?
Yeah.
Him turning down all that money.
Did you see Pete Alonso was like, give him $400 million and let's be done with this. Let's pay him.
No.
I mean, in the end, I think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series, but the Mets should make a good run. They should be better than we used to tease them about. So Steve Gardner will join us. We'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll continue to look at the NCAA tournament. I do want to continue in the next hour a little bit of a discussion of the quarterback position, because we had a little bit of that late with our talk yesterday with Emory Hunt about it just seems to be why are we not producing elite quarterbacks in this country? Why is it that we... You know, when we find one, it's like, oh, my God, this is a diamond in the rough. We can't, like, why aren't there five or six? But Justin Fields had a good pro day yesterday, a really good pro day. We'll talk about that. Max Jones didn't, but we'll see what the draft will look like. So we'll have that conversation coming up in hour number two as well. Again, the 17-game schedule is coming. And have I changed my mind on it? I used to be a staunch opponent of it because I was more of a on the player's side of this thing when it came to concussions and safety and all of that, because I saw their argument, man. I agreed with them that the sport is violent enough, but I look at it now and I go, yeah, you know what? If the NFL is willing to concede some things and the players are like, go ahead, I think as a fan, I'll sit back and enjoy it. The one thing I won't like is I don't like the odd number, so I don't like 8 and 9. You know, like, yeah. I'd rather be 8 and 8. Like, I like 8 and 8 being the bench point above and below. Now it's like there's no 500 in your schedule. But nevertheless, we'll have to get used to that like other things. Wake up call.